Hello and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace. Today, our guest is Allison Dougherty. Man, Allison came in here just bright as a shining sun, and I would have never guessed that she would sit down and say the deep and dark and despair that she shared throughout her story here. But the flip, the despair turning into gratitude, and that's the kind of stuff that God does for us because He loves us, He's with us, as she shares, and when we surrender to Him, He is going to transform our lives. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Audrey.
It's so great to meet you, and I'm looking forward to introducing you, your story, to all of our listeners.
I'm so excited to be here.
Excellent. So we're just going to dive in at the very beginning, and I want to know, did you grow up in the Akron area? Where does your life begin?
I grew up in Cuyahoga Falls. I graduated from Stowe High School. Mm-hmm. Was raised Methodist.
Me too.
Baptized Methodist mm-hmm. as a baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom was a single mom, and she worked a lot of Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, went to church early, and she taught Bible study, mm-hmm. and but sooner or later we started becoming C&E people. It's Christmas and Easter people.
Okay.
And we did that for some years, and then I don't know if it was that she worked every Sunday and having those holidays off, and then trying to finagle, you know, two little kids and my grandmother and family meals and whatnot. We stopped going to church, and she, you know, said, I can remember her saying, you know, if it's, you don't need to go to a brick and mortar building mm-hmm. to live as a good Christian, mm-hmm. as you live by the Ten Commandments and live as a good Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, we stopped going and stopped being C&E people. Mm-hmm. And I stopped going to church, and the further away I went from attending church, the more away from God and mm-hmm. Jesus I became. And as I grew up, I became really a non-believer. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was a great story, mm-hmm. and it helped people live in a community, and I never downed anybody who was religious, but I felt that it was just a story, and it wasn't, I was just a non-believer, mm-hmm. you know, in general. Mm-hmm. That continued until last year, really.
Whoa.
I just turned 50, so, you know, my kids were not raised in a church. One summer, my daughter attended a Christian camp that I had helped with their meal program, because I worked as a school nutrition director for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And somebody I worked with was involved with this Christian camp and said they need help with their summer feeding program. Mm. So I went and I helped them fix their mess that they were doing. And as a thank you, they allowed my daughter to go to the Christian camp for a week. So, you know, I picked her up and we were leaving to come back to Ohio. This was up in Maine.
Wow.
We were leaving to come back to Ohio to visit my mom, and I picked my daughter up, and she's super excited. She goes, Mom, did you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he's our Savior? Did you know that? And I go, well, that's what they say. And I completely was like, Let's talk about, you know, religion. And I have a master's in science. I'm very science-minded. And I'm like, you know, it's a story and da-da-da. And I sort of, like, poo-pooed it, mm-hmm. you know.
How old would you say your daughter was?
She was 5, maybe.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
She was very excited. Yeah, she was very excited and had a great time at camp. And they were great people, mm-hmm. you know. I think back on that, I was like, what a fool I was, you know. But at any rate, so my kids are now grown. She's 19 and my son is 23, almost 24 next month. Yeah. And so they weren't raised. I didn't raise them with faith. They, you know, I said, if that's something you want to go and explore on your own, I won't ever hold you back from that. And they sometimes would go with their friends, you know, if they spent the night at their house on a Saturday and went to church on Sunday. But at any rate.
It's a kind of religion neutral. Like, yes. You weren't trying to stop them, but you weren't pushing them toward it or away, but just neutral.
Correct, okay. Correct. You know, I thought it had great lessons. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all religions really try to have a peaceful community. How do you live in a community together in a respectful community and, you know, and answer questions of, like, what happens, after we leave this earth and creation and whatnot. So, you know, I respect the, you know, the various religions out there. And there's a lot of, if you kind of look at them, there's a lot of similarities, you know, across cultures, you know. They all have a flood story, you know. So last year, I'll back up. So I moved back to Ohio from Maine in 2017. And I had just turned 40. And, you know, I kind of was in a midlife crisis, if you will. Mm. I was sort of in a self-destructive last 10 years. Mm. I started drinking and doing drugs. Not all the time initially, but then I lost my best friend, somebody I loved very much. He died, and then my dogs died. My kid went to college. And there's all this grief. And my job ended because of the pandemic. And so I had all these, like, kind of crashing things in my life.
Big, huge life.
Huge.
Like, traumas.
Yes. Yes. Truly. Exactly. And I wasn't taking the time to heal.
Right.
And so I turned more and more to drugs and alcohol. And was having trouble finding employment, and I'd have a job for a little while, and then I'd lose that job, or I'd leave that job. Mm-hmm. And so I started being at the bars every day, and just felt despair and sadness, and I hated life. Mm-hmm. I really did. It was a really bleak, dark place I was in.
Yeah, and you're still trying to mom.
Yeah, my kids at this time, my son went to college. Okay. My daughter decided, I don't want to stay here with you, Mom. I'm going to stay with Dad up in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Which she primarily had been raised there. Mm-hmm. And but I also wasn't in a good place to... I wasn't there for her, you know.
To be responsible for another life.
Right,
honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she was fed, she was clean, she had food, you know, she went to school every day, you know what I mean? But then the pandemic happened and she was home, home, and that was her eighth grade year, and she really didn't thrive in that, with away from her friends. That's a very important psychosocial aspect of eighth grade, you know. Yeah. And she was depressed, and I didn't notice, you know. And she wasn't doing her schoolwork. I didn't notice, you know. There was just a lot of things that I was failing her on. And I feel terrible about that, you know. So she went to her dad's that summer of going into ninth grade. And she decided she wanted to stay up with her dad. And, oh, did I resent her? And, oh, was I mad at her? You know, how dare you, you know? But that's an addictive alcoholic brain saying, you know, poor me.
Yeah.
you know, let me blame you, you know, you know, 14-year-old for making this bad choice, you know, which was actually a great choice, you know, in retrospect and thinking back on it. Because she thrived up there. She blossomed up there. She has great friends. She's got a great boyfriend. She got a great scholarship to go to college. She graduated with honors, you know what I mean? And, you know, I thank my ex-husband and his new wife for allowing her to blossom. And it's safe up there. It's, you know, wide open spaces. And she's going to Eastern Maine Community College for 2 years, doing her basics, and then going to transfer to my alma mater for that I went to my master's from, the University of Maine. For art, she's getting, she'll be doing art education. So I'm so proud of her, you know, and she just is loving life. And our relationship now is wonderful. We talk all the time and she shares her life with me. But there was a few years that, you know, I was not in a good place, you know, to be there for her. And my son stayed here. Well, he went to college down in West Virginia, and he did great, you know, has a great girlfriend. He graduated from Kent, ended up coming back and going to Kent for a year, graduating, and he works with autistic kids. He has a psychology degree and works with kids who are 3 to 5 years old who are nonverbal and, you know, very far on the spectrum. And he helps them, you know, with developing skills that they can go into a public school setting, you know. And so I'm so very proud of him. He's just a wonderful young man that he's grown into. Say the last 5 years has been just a spiral into a dark, dark place and an awful existence. And last year I found myself in Summit County Jail, and the right before my daughter's graduation. So there I am with the guilt of, here I am letting her down one more time, you know. And I hit my rock bottom. I mean, really, I could get no lower. My house had been condemned because I had taken my boyfriend who passed away, had a storage unit, and my great thinking was, oh, I'll just move the storage unit to the house, to the garage. Well, it was a huge storage unit, and it took up every part of my house. It looked like I was a hoarder, and I'm a pretty minimalist person, but I had boxes and totes and stuffed in every room, every garage, basement, every room. I also had 3 big dogs that were loved to tear things up, and so I got arrested, and they came to my house, they condemned my house, they took my dogs, I spent a total of 67 days in Summit County Jail. And, I just wanted to die. I just couldn't bear life anymore. You know, how bad can it get? And it just kept getting worse. And I was like, wanted to kill myself, but things were going so bad that I figured I'd screw that up too, it would be even worse. You know what I mean? It was just so, life was awful, just awful. So I find myself in Summit County Jail, after spending 5 days in the hole for arguing with somebody, I get out of the hole. Actually spent the entire rest of the time in that same cell, but I just was able to have roommates, cellmates at that point. But they allowed me to go to Bible study. And the second week of Bible study, this young lady was standing up at the end of the room, and I was very moved. I was feeling very emotional during that Bible study. Not the one before, but that particular one, I was really moved, and I felt kind of choked up, Is
that an unusual feeling for you, or is that something?
In a religious setting, yes, mm-hmm. definitely. Because, again, I was a non-believer, so it was weird feeling for yeah. me, you know?
What is this?
Yeah, and at the end of the Bible study, the lady says, if you say Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and he's your Savior, you can ask God anything. Now, prior to this, I'd been there 3-4 weeks, I think, at that point, and I had no court date. I had no idea what was going on. I had the worst attorney. I mean, I can't even call him an attorney because he wasn't representing me at all. Wouldn't answer my phone calls or come and see me in the jail. I had no date on my file. Everybody else in jail had a court date, or they were going to IBH, or they were going to CBCF mm-hmm. or Power Street, or everybody knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they had like vision for the future.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was like, oh, I'll be out in 30 days, mm-hmm. I'll be out in 10 days, I'll be out, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. I had no idea. Nobody could tell me. And the deputies in the jail are not exactly helpful, but there was a couple that would look up my case for me. And they just said there's just no information. So it's like I'm sitting in jail. I have no idea what's going on. My attorney won't answer my phone call or come and see me. He told my mom he'd come see me. He wouldn't or never did. My mom, I love her dearly. But I would ask her to look things up. And, you know, she was looking things up on Google. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, in her Gmail. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're never going to find it there. And I'm like, just forget it. So I just had no idea. So when the lady says, you know, if you say these words with your mouth and mean in your heart, you can ask God anything. I was like, well, might as well. I have nothing to lose. So I said those words. And that night, I went back to my cell, and I prayed for the first time in my life. I literally never prayed. Like, I've never been like, God, get me out of this. God, please this. You know, I never, because I didn't believe at all. Yeah. And all I said was, God, please let me know something. That's all I said.
Wow.
The next morning, I wake up, and they call my name, and they had not called me for anything. I mean, they never, couldn't even get my name right. They couldn't, you know, nothing. And they called my name, and they said, you have an assessment with Oriana House. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I go up there, and I do the assessment. And at the end, she says, well, it looks like your court date is July 23rd. And it looks like they want you to go to Power Street or CBCF. But I think you might do better in IBH. You might, but, you know, so I'll put that in my recommendations. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, that was less than 12 hours ago. I asked God to let me know something.
Something.
And something less than 12 hours later.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, God.
So I get out of the assessment. I was like, wow, I'm just like dumbfounded. I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know? I asked and God responded like immediately, you know? And when I was in jail, I was in a cell. I wasn't in like the pod that has half walls where you can talk and, you know, be conversational with people around you. And so they had us locked down 22 or 23 hours a day. So when we were out, I would walk the pod constantly. Like for that hour that we were out, I walked and did laps around the whole place. And so I get out of my assessment and we were out. So I start walking. And not only did I have the information I was looking for, but I wasn't walking in the darkness. I wasn't walking in a hopeless, purposeless place any longer. I was walking with God.
You felt that?
I felt that. I felt a light shining on me. Whoa. I'm in this hopeless place.
Yeah, that didn't change.
Yeah, I'm in this hopeless place, and I had hope. And mind you, I still had to sit there for 5 more weeks. So it wasn't like I was getting out like that, you know? But I had hope. And from that day forward, I've prayed every day in the morning when I wake up and when I go to bed at night, and sometimes, you know, throughout the day if you know, as needed, as you said, you know. But I start my day with a conversation with God, and I didn't know how to pray, so I just had conversations with him, you know. And I've gotten a little better with some more formal prayer. as I've gone through the last year, you know. Mm-hmm. I knew from that day forward I wasn't coming out of jail and going back to the life that I was living. Mm. I had no interest in coming out and doing drugs or drinking anymore. I had that mental obsession was lifted from me that day. And so I started in on anything. They give you tablets in the jail. Any recovery-related tablet program, mm-hmm. I did 51 of them.
Wow.
That were certificates and 20-some that were non-certificate programs. Anything to that had to do with recovery, cognitive behavior therapy, yoga, meditation, AA, NA, I dived into it. Mm-hmm. And I exercised every day. I prayed every day. I meditated because that's important to mm-hmm. pray and then meditate afterwards. So, you know, I'm talking to God while I'm praying, but that meditation piece is that God is talking back to me. I'm allowing that to happen,
so
you know.
Yeah, dwell there for a little while.
So that's how I've continued my days. So fast forward, I get out of jail July 23rd.
Of 2024?
Of 2025. Last year, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And, you know, I went to Grace Church. I had to stay at in Barberton for a little while at my best friend's house. And so I went to the Grace Church in Norton a couple mm-hmm. times. And then I got my utilities all turned back on, and my house was all cleaned up, and my house got uncondemned, and so I was able to move back into my house. And so I went to a little Methodist church around the corner from me a couple times, but there's just something in me that was like, you know what? I got up one Sunday, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the Grace Church out here on Gent Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came here one week. And then the next week, I attended that next Sunday, and the lady up on stage was talking about the Rooted program. Mm. And I'm like, I'm interested. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She said, there'll be people in the hallway to answer questions to sign you up. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I go out, and there's three tables with laptops. One guy, super long line. Another guy, super long line. Here's this lady at the computer over here. Nobody. And she waves me over. And I say, she signs me up, and we're walking over to get a book. And that particular Sunday, there was a baptism. I've never seen a baptism again. You know, I was baptized as a baby.
Yeah.
I've seen baby baptisms.
I didn't remember that very well, yeah.
I've never seen, like, a full bathtub,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, dunk them,
and
yeah.
I mean, I was like, wow, that was something else, mm-hmm. you know. And she goes, well, have you ever been baptized? And I said, well, as a baby I was. And she goes, well, are you a follower of Jesus? And I said, well, as of this summer, you know, I had a spiritual awakening. And she said, well, what does that mean? And so I told her the story that I just told mm-hmm. you. And she said, what jail were you at? And I said, Summit County. And she goes, oh, I take the Bible study into Summit County Jail. And I look at her. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was you.
The person that stood up there and invited you to pray?
Was Sunny.
Get out of town.
Yes. God led me to church here. God, that particular Sunday, that she's up on stage, then she's out in the hallway with nobody at her kiosk or her computer. And so I connect with her, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was you. I said, you are part of my story and why I'm a believer in Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Allison.
Right?
I have goosebumps.
It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing. I mean, it's just... Oh, my gosh.
You're, like, telling her this story of this young woman who came to the jail and said, if you pray these words.
Yes,
and
yes.
it was her voice.
It was her,
you.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then God led me to Grace Church mm-hmm. on Gent Road that day.
And she was the weekend host.
Yeah, she was doing the introduction before Jeff's sermon. Oh, I mean, I just was like, oh, my gosh. And I hugged her. And we went over, and she gave me a book. And then she hooked me up with her mom for the Rooted program. Mm-hmm. So I went through the Rooted program with Christy, her mom. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, my gosh.
God just works in a mysterious, wild ways.
Oh, wow.
So after the Rooted program, they were like, well, do you want to get baptized? I'm like, I do. But I had to go to work that particular Sunday, mm-hmm. and I was like, ooh, I'll be in wet clothes. I have to go home. It's going to be a really short amount of time. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't think I can today, you know, or that particular Sunday. So Sunny reached out to me, and she interviewed me for the baptism. And I was telling her my story, and I just told you. And on May 23rd was 1 year drug-free. And she said, wouldn't it be cool to commemorate that day with your baptism?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, that'd be great. Now, that was a Saturday. I had to work that night. So Sunday on the 24th, Sunny baptized me.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just such an amazing experience, surrounded by the people I love, my two friends and my mom, my brother, my son. My daughter wanted to come so bad, but she's up in Maine and plane tickets were crazy and I just couldn't afford it. But she wanted to be there, so my son recorded it and I sent it to her. She was so excited about it. And it was just a wonderful day. That day they were having this big barbecue outside.
This is just weeks ago.
Just weeks ago,
oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So I meet the Pastor Joe. Is it Pastor Joe? And I said, you know, you didn't have to do all this for my baptism.
You did the whole barbecue party.
Yeah, you did the whole barbecue party for it, you know. But anyhow, it was just a wonderful day. It was just beautiful outside, and it was just, I mean, what a spiritually amazing experience that was. And to have Sonny, who was the reason why I opened my eyes that day and saw God's hand reaching out. It's been there all along.
Yeah.
But I was so blind, and I, you know, it sounds crazy, but for at least the last 5 years, maybe 10, you know, I've had the devil whispering in my ears, you know, denying Jesus and God's existence and with, you know, putting fear and addiction and alcoholism and despair and just darkness shrouding my life, you know. And as soon as I said those words, the light shined on me, and it's been shining ever since. And, you know, not every day is perfect. I have hard days. I work a lot of crappy jobs. I'm grateful for it. For each and every one of them. You know, I've made it through probation. I do meditations for people. I do a meditation in a salt cave for people in recovery. Mm-hmm. I lead hikes through our beautiful metro parks with people in recovery.
Wow.
I just started my chemical dependency counselor schooling coursework, because I'm moved to help people get out of that dark place.
Absolutely.
You know, as a faith-based drug and chemical dependency counselor, that's what I want to do.
Yes.
But I will say that 2 days after my baptism, I get an email from Indeed, and it's for a food service director. And that's what I did for 10 years in schools. So I'm like, you know, good pay, great. You know, I'll put my name in the hat. So I attached my email or my resume to the job posting. And then it comes up with the questions. And it says, how do you feel about working in a faith-based setting? And I'm like, this is strange. Like, No, this is God.
Yes.
I really feel, I mean, who knows, you know, I've prayed on it and it feels great, and maybe they'll see my worth, you know, that I, you know, because I'm very qualified for this position. But I'm like, how strange is that? 2 days after I'm baptized, I have this faith-based organization that has this new role feeding their people in two different buildings, which I had 9 different buildings in my other jobs. And I can check mark down the list of things that they're looking for, and I've done them all, and I have 10 years of experience of it all. You know what I mean? It's like, wow.
But have Jesus involved, right? Right. At the center of it all.
Exactly. Let's go. Exactly. That's you know? Amazing. And it's like, you know, and their question is, you know, how do you feel about working a faith-based organization? And I'm like, I feel like that's what I need to do, you know? I feel like, you know, I am on fire for Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I am on fire for what God has done in my life.
Absolutely.
You know, I thank him every day for keeping me sober, lifting that mental obsession away from me. It, I thank him every day for my beautiful children, the beautiful creation, and being alive every single day. I get to wake up and do good things every day, you know? I'm very active in recovery groups and help try to help anybody I can in any way I can, you know. And it just, my life is so good, you know, ever since that day. Even sitting in jail, my life started to grow.
Right. Half the time it sounds like you were in despair, and half the time you were in the light.
Yes, exactly.
And so it changed. You, again, the environment didn't change.
Right.
The setting didn't change.
Right.
But your heart and your soul changed.
Exactly.
You experienced it completely differently.
Exactly, exactly. And I wrote to the chaplain, and I got this beautiful woman's Bible, and so I started reading it. And I would have Bible studies with some of the other inmates. Outside of Bible study, we'd sit and talk about God and Jesus and how it's, you know, his role in our life, you know. So it just, life is amazing. I would say that he, you know, Jesus, from that day, I feel resurrected. So on Easter, my mom came to church with me, so we had not been to church since I was a little girl together, you know. She had started going to a church with her friend or a friend's church with her years ago after my grandmother died. She watches something on TV, you know. But I asked her if she'd come to Easter service with me, so we came together. And after, and she really loved it. She came, she's come a couple times with me since. And my relationship with my mom is just so great. It wasn't, it shouldn't have been, because I was not doing the right things. I was focused, I was self-centered, I was focused on drugs and alcohol, and nothing else good in my life, you know? And I wasn't doing any of the right things. And she kind of gave up on me. She
was
worried.
Yeah,
she was worried, but we really were really far apart from each other. And I was very upset at her about a couple things, and I swore I was never going to talk to her again. And next time I was going to see her, it was, you know, I wasn't going to see her again, you know. And but she and I, since I got out of jail, I mean, I talked to her every week. I started calling my kids every Sunday and my mom every Sunday while I was in jail, and making amends to them and showing them, and not just saying I'm sorry, but showing them, you know, amends means change. And that's what I've done, is I've changed every part of my life, starting with my faith, you know, going from no faith to I was such a fool to think that God didn't exist, you know, when he was right there the whole time, you know. That's the enemy at your table, you know.
And nobody can deny this. This is your story. This is your experience. Like, you hear this story and you're like, yes, this is not coincidence. This is not happenstance. This is like divine intervention and love.
Yes.
And kindness to you. And being seen and known.
Yes.
And taking you all the way to that moment. Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. My life is joyful. It's full of love.
I mean, you're bright. Like, I'm looking at you. Yeah. You just sit here bright before me. Yeah. I can even imagine maybe the darkness that you might have appeared.
Right.
Like, in your appearance even, probably, yeah. previously. But now,
yeah.
like, your smile and yeah. the light in your eyes.
Yeah. That's just it. It's mm-hmm. like, I have hope, and I have love, and I have joy, and I have a purpose, you know. I'm not quite sure what my purpose is, and I pray about it every night. God, just lead me to my purpose. But I think I've got it, you know. But I've given my will over to God, and I'm every night I pray, you know, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and do with me as Thy will, you know. And let me do Thy will, not mine. Because what I was doing, my will, was not working.
Right, exactly. So, those are hard words to say and mean.
Yeah.
And to sustain.
Right.
Because it might be easy to say that prayer once.
Yes,
and
yes.
And then to keep repeating it. Yeah. And I'm sure life has not been perfect since then. So when the trial comes, do you slide? Do you slip? Do you revert?
Yeah.
Or are you steadfast?
Right, and steadfast, you know. And you just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I have just rose up, you know. It's that, like, phoenix rising from the ashes, you know. It's with God's hand pulling me up, you know. So it's just been, life is, I had to pay a lot of money for probation, and somehow I managed to do that. I got off probation last week, and it was easy, you know. People were like, oh, can you make it a year sober? I was like, not a problem, because I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward, and I've got God right on my side, walking right beside me every single day, you know. I said I lost my dogs while I was in jail. I now have a little Frenchie who's just the light of my life. Mm-hmm. He's my little emotional support service dog. So I have her little light. The relationship between my mom, my two kids are just so good. My brother. I've got people surrounding me who are supportive and really just good people, you know. I just feel really strong in my sobriety. I feel really strong in my faith. And I have nothing but optimism for my life going forward. And I can't wait to help other people get out of the darkness, you know? Because if I could do it, because I was shrouded in the darkness. I kept saying, I feel like I have something on my back. I feel like I have a demon on me. And I did.
Yeah.
You know, and it was crazy. I have a friend who kind of does like Reiki energy work. And one time he pulled this energy out of my neck. It was like strings, and it was the strangest thing. It's like it was a demon on my back.
There's but a I started supernatural world that we can't see it. Fighting for our soul.
It was like the most amazing, crazy thing I've ever felt. But I immediately went back to the devil drugs and the devil life, you know? And so it just clung right back to me.
Covering your ears, covering your eyes.
Yes, exactly. And until I said those words, it broke free. And I don't have that feeling anymore. You know, I'm not depressed. I have life is good.
Freedom.
That's exactly it. Freedom.
Yeah, and you're in less control probably than ever, and you're not, you know, using substances to manipulate situations.
Right.
But there's this lightness and this freedom in the lack of control.
Yes.
That is completely upside down and backwards.
Yes.
But it works.
Yes.
It's real. It's so real.
Yes. For my 50th birthday, me and my two best friends, we went up to Cleveland, and I love dancing. So we went out dancing that night, and I danced all night long. I mean, I own that dance floor,
amazing.
Right? The next morning, I started working my first day on this new job. And I'm driving there, and there's a beautiful morning. This is back in April. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. And I was bummed I wasn't going to be able to go to church, but I had listened to the recording before I left for work. Mm-hmm. And but on the radio, I was listening to this gospel program. And it was talking about living this new life and the freedom. And I found myself just elated with joy and freedom, and that's the word that just, I can't, I just was like, I am free. And it feels so good. I don't have that demon on my back anymore. Mm-hmm. I had the best time dancing all night long, sober, you know, with my best friends. And I had this overwhelming sense of joy and freedom. Mm-hmm. And it was, and I'm like, why would I ever go back?
Yes.
You know, yes, and Lord. I thank God for that. And yes. I thank Jesus for that. That is exactly why I'm sitting here today and how why I feel the way I feel and why my life is just going up instead of in down into a cavern of darkness, you know?
Wow. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Well, I'm energetic. I want to go dance right now. I love worship music that talks about dancing, like dancing at his feet or dancing before God.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think about heaven, we sang this song this past weekend. I don't know the name of it, but it just talks about holy. Like,
I love that song.
Did you hear it too? Yes, oh my gosh. Yes. And it's like, this is what heaven will be, is that all the angels will sing, all of creation will sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
The name of Jesus is above all names. Yes. And that's literally what heaven's going to be. And I hope there's dancing along with that singing.
Yes, of course. Of course there will. Of course there will be. Yeah. If I'm there, there will be.
Exactly. You and I are going to be together.
Yes, I love it.
We're going to have a great time.
I love it. I love it.
It's so beautiful to think about that. And,
yeah.
Man,
I love that song. I get so choked up singing it because it's so powerful.
Yes.
I knew exactly what song you were going to say just before because it's such a powerful song.
And you think about, like, there's a lot of worship songs that's like, Lord, help me with this or give me this and that. But this one is like the voices of God's people rise together to glorify and worship him.
Yes.
Ah, there's just such power there.
And it's that movement that I felt in jail when we were in Bible study. I was like, gosh, I just feel this, like, I feel choked up and, you know,
because it's this emotion,
you know,
me.
I say it's like God shaking me.
Yes.
And, you know,
getting the dust off.
It is. Yes. It is. And move me, you know, and said, I'm right here, you know, and that Holy Spirit moving me.
Yes.
So I just love that song.
Yes.
So
amazing.
I've heard it once or twice here over the last, since December, since I've been coming to Grace Church. And every time it's like, I can't help but sing it. And I'm like, crying and you know, I'm hoping the people next to me aren't paying any attention.
And even if they are, they're probably crying too.
Yeah.
So let it flow.
Yeah,
let it
flow.
Oh man. Well, speaking of which, we have a playlist here at the Unscripted podcast. It's called Unscripted Worship. It's on Spotify. And each guest gets to add a song or two to the playlist.
Uh-huh.
This reflects their story, reflects their heart, reflects whatever it is that they want to reflect. Have you brought a song to add to the Unscripted playlist?
I love this song. This is an oldie, but well, I don't know, goodie. it's from 1978, and it's the Jerry Garcia Band, and the song is called I'll Be With Thee.
Mm.
And it's an old spiritual, but there's a line in it. The chorus goes, and I won't hurt your ears by singing it. You'll have to listen. I'll be with thee, I'll be with thee through failure, success. I'll understand when you've done your best. I am Lord thy God, and I'll be with thee. And as you listen to my story, that means so much to me because once the veil was removed, God has been by my side every single day. He's been with me, you know. Through every step that I've taken since that day that I said those words. So it's just so moving to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that that line in that song. And the other one is I Surrender by Hilltop, I think.
Hillsong.
Thank you. Terrible with names of bands and lyrics. But the concept of I Surrender, you know, I have surrendered myself to God, and you know, I'm a member of AA, and that's a concept is I'm powerless, and I give my will over to God's will, and the concept of surrendering, you know, some people might think you're surrendering, you're losing, you've lost,
you're vulnerable,
but surrendering is you're surrendering to the winning side. Mm. And so that concept is exactly what I've done, is I've surrendered my will to God, and thank God I have, yes. You know, because my life has gotten so good, yes. ever since I've not done my will. Mm. At least I try to do mm-hmm. not my will. It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Every day.
I'm like, okay. Yes. I can't control the situation, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. The one I like is a live performance mm-hmm. With, I think her name is Lauren. I'd have to look her up.
Yeah, maybe Lauren Daigle.
Yes, thank you.
Lauren Daigle.
Oh, yes. My gosh. It's such a beautiful song. And that particular live performance is amazing because it's in a big arena, mm-hmm. and you can see there's a lot of young people, but every person is singing from their soul, yes. and it's such a moving. Mm. I mean, it's a beautiful song in the mm-hmm. first place, but then the Holy Spirit is alive in that mm-hmm. room with all those people singing, and mm-hmm. I mean, you could just feel it coming through the speakers. Mm-hmm. So turn it up.
Turn it up. Turn it up. YouTube. Watch
yes,
it.
Yes. Turn it up.
Absolutely. Oh, man. And these things, like, that's what we were just talking about, the surrender, the loss of control, becoming weak because you're actually stronger.
Yes.
Because it's the name above all names.
Yes.
It's the victor.
Yes.
It's the yes. almighty, powerful, yes. creator of all things.
Yes.
I love the verses that are like, I'm sorry, I'm going to add some attitude,
yes.
but like, I'm sorry, were you here when I put the mountains in position?
Yes.
Were you here when I put the stars in
right,
the sky? Where
right,
were you?
Right.
I was here, and
yes.
I did all of this.
Right.
And if you join me,
yes.
all of this is available to you. You
yes.
have access to the full power of God.
Yes.
When you call upon his name the way that you did that
yes.
day,
yes.
light, life, love,
yes.
longevity of
yes.
all of that. It
yes.
can sustain when it is true
yes.
and real and rooted in the name of Jesus,
yes.
not in our own power
yes.
or our own attempts to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm.
That is, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm.
Mm. Life is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yes. Everything looks, and I appreciate so much more, mm-hmm. you know, every little thing is because of God, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You can have gratitude.
Yeah.
And that's where contentment lives.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Joy.
Yeah. 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 On Easter, my mom, after the service, she was like, oh, I need to use the restroom. So she went in the restroom. There must have been a line or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never spoke to Jeff, Pastor mm-hmm. Jeff, before. And, I mean, I've said thanks, you know, mm-hmm. walked by and said thank you for a great service. But he was standing there. Nobody was around him. So
mm-hmm.
I went over to him, and I said, that was a great service, you know. And so I gave him an abbreviated version of my
mm-hmm.
story. And he goes, you know, my wife was the other woman
oh,
in jail.
Gosh.
And I was like, you have got to be kidding. And he goes, so you didn't really know what I was talking about. The resurrection
yeah.
of your life.
Yes.
And I said, that's exactly how I feel,
mm-hmm.
is my life has been resurrected. And it is such a beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing. And I'm so grateful. And I have so much joy. And I'm on fire.
And
you
it's
know?
A testimony now to all around
yes.
you. Everybody that knew you for 49 years
yes.
is going to look at you and, again, the
yes.
brightness and see this
yes.
life transformation. And if they don't know Jesus yet, they're going to say, I got some questions for you.
Yes,
and
exactly.
hopefully they hear this podcast because
exactly.
they're going to hear the answers.
yes, yes.
Wonderful.
I can't wait to share it with
yes.
with everyone I know.
Well, if you're one of those people and you're listening, Allison loves you so much.
Yes,
and Jesus loves
I
you
do.
Even more. Can you even imagine that?
Yes.
It's true and it's real and it's available to you. And I just kind of wondered if you could share with us that prayer again that Sonny
oh.
would have said, that is just simple words that you were able to say
oh.
to change your life.
She just said, if you say with your mouth and mean it with your heart, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and he is your savior, you can ask God anything.
Mm.
So I said those words and my life changed.
Mm. So what would you ask him? If you're listening to this, what would you ask him? You have full access to him and you just have to open your heart. He was ready. He's ready to come in. If you're hearing this story and something is resonating for you, there's so much here that can resonate for you. We want to talk with you. If there's something that, questions you have, struggles that you're fighting with, you're not doing that alone. So we have an email address, unscripted@graceohio.org, and you can reach out to us there and we can get in touch with you either with one of us or with someone on staff, because Grace genuinely cares about each person and we want to help you have the same freedom that we're talking about here. Thanks so much for sharing your story, Allison.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Audrey.
You're welcome.